There is another type of video that's gone up, and it has had about 1.5 million views so far. I have the audio of it here. It's a guy called James Conway. He uploaded a video. Some people call it a video rant on the Apple tax situation. Have a listen to this.
Sitting here and I was scrolling through Facebook, and I'm probably late in saying this, but I only seen it now. That Apple owes something in the region of between 12 and 14 billion euros to Ireland. Now, as far as I know, and I ain't very educated in the matter, but a million is a thousand thousands. So 12 billion, well, that's just an awful amount of money, so it is. So that sounds good, like. But then I read it again and I says, yes, that's great. This is the best part, though. The Irish government doesn't want it. They don't want 12 billion because they're afraid Apple will get up and go. Well, here's my point about it now, however much money it is. Apple. The lot of them. Take the money and start laying cable and redoing roads and doing something to get the likes of myself, all the boys that are there, to get everyone back. Because when people is working, they're spending money in the country. How much is Apple spending? Damn all. People are still going to go out and buy their phones. They're still going to make their profit. They'll stay in Ireland because they already have one of the lowest corporation tax rates in the world. So what? They should pay nothing. Pull the other one. Andy Kenny came out years ago and he says, most people leave Ireland because they want to. And damn me, he was re-elected. Most people leave Ireland because they want to. Most people leave Ireland because they had to. Because there's nothing at home, only jobs that don't pay enough to fucking keep the house you were buying 10, 12 years ago. Why do they have a fucking reality check for themselves? We're not all IT people. We're not all scientists and mathematicians and talks like that. What about the ordinary man? You don't give two damns. And that's what I'm saying to the Irish government. You've forgotten about the likes of myself. All the boys, they weren't made to be scientists and all these feckin' things. Education, yeah. When I went to school, it was a disgrace. No teacher wanted to spend no time with you. There was 35 in classes. 35 for 40 minutes. One teacher. How was one teacher meant to go around each child and tell them and explain something to them? The fast ones got ahead and the slow ones fell behind. But now the slow ones is forgotten about and they have to f*** off out of the country and find something else for themselves. And then when you get 12 billion that you could create a bit of work for them, you won't f***ing take it. You're a shower of absolute rampant f***ing, and that's the truth.
That's James Conway and he joins me by phone. James, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm very good. Are you surprised at the response to your video and your post?
I'd be very surprised with the amount of people that's watched it and the amount of people who've messaged on it and commented on it. I never thought that it would go that far, but it's fairly put it in my mind now that a lot of people in Ireland feel the absolute same, that this recovery that they keep speaking about or that it isn't affecting the majority of people.
Now, was this off the cuff or did you think it through before you did the piece?
Well, I'd be truthful about it. I'm sitting there in a digger and she was after breaking down. The fuel injectors was damaged in it. So I was pissed off enough about that to begin with. And then I just, because I was waiting on a fitter to come out with the parts I needed to fix it, I started just looking through Facebook and that, and I came across that, and I'm probably the only person in the country who's seen it that late. So it put me off the walls altogether, to be truthful about it. And I just said, I'm having me say on it.
Good man yourself, and we're all glad that you did. But you're not in the country, though, so you're not, James?
No, we're outside quite tight here in Wrexham at the moment. We're just doing the trench here now for a substation for Scottish Power.
Right. Are you in Wales, then?
North Wales at the moment, yeah.
And you say you had to leave Ireland, is that right?
I had to leave Ireland because the jobs you get in Ireland, it's all good and well. If you want to go through life and you don't want to be able to save up the price of a mortgage, you don't want to be able to provide a good set of clothes and do all the things that you want. Like, we can all live. You can live. Nobody in Ireland, you know, as far as I can see, there's a homeless crisis. Them poor people is on the very bottom and they're not being helped. But if you were, you know, if you go out every morning and you get up and you do the same thing every day, you'll get a few pounds together just to live. But you won't get better off. You won't get up the ladder. You won't do these things. You won't be able to save up for a retirement.
You'll survive.
At the moment. That's about it.
Yeah, you'll survive.
That's about all people is doing at the moment.
Yeah.
I was there myself. I was home last year. My mother was just coming out of cancer and my relationship had gone to pot because I was away working all the time trying to save up for a house. And now where are we? Do you know? Back to the same thing again, back over here again.
Yeah. And you're a Sligo man, right?
That's right.
So I would imagine that in rural Ireland, particularly, say, the west of Ireland, it's an awful lot harder for young people than, you know, it's hard enough for them in the city and the suburbs and metropolitan areas. But the west of Ireland's very bad altogether, isn't it? You make a very good point. Not everybody is qualified in areas like IT or scientists, as you say yourself. They just want ordinary, good, hard-paying job, hard-working, well-paying jobs.
Nearly everyone from my area is either farmer's sons and farmer's daughters. And from a young age, the work they're involved in is of a manual nature and driving and fixing stuff and doing work on the ground. And then you go to school and you have it shoved down your neck. Well, no, that's not good enough. You have to be like this. If you want to work or you want a job in this country, you have to take on this thing. And then never think about the likes of ourselves. Like, predominantly, my age group at the moment, there's a rake of people my age and that, and I feel sorry for their families and that. Because the suicide rate in my area in the west of Ireland is ridiculous.
Mm.
And the whole point about it is, and people is avoiding this fact, young men like myself get three predominant choices. They can stay on the dole or in a job that they're not doing particularly well in and wait for things to get better. They can go out abroad and try and make things better. And then the poor devils, they can't see anything better. They start getting down on themselves and they get depressed on themselves. And then they end up doing suicide attempts and then some people going through it. And that's not right. That's the Ireland we live in. That's the Ireland people my age lives in.
Mm.
And everyone tears us with the one brush that we're going out at night and drinking and driving fast cars and doing this and that. And I heard that from people back at home. But our generation, there's nothing wrong with our generation if they're given the opportunity. But the point about it is they're not getting the opportunities. Not in rural Ireland, anyway.
I mean, I have to say, I do spend quite a lot of time in rural Ireland, and I do see elements of the younger community who are drinking too much, who are driving fast cars, who are destroying roads in donuts and handbrake turns and everything. And you're saying there's a reason for all of that, are you?
I'm not saying there's a reason for a person going out and destroying a road at night. But you can't turn around and say that everyone is bad. If we were to say that about the generation years ago, would someone come out and say that years ago everyone was thick or something like that? No, they wouldn't, because they didn't have education opportunities. People in the 50s, 60s, 70s, they were the finest people that our country ever produced. They went out abroad and they brought home money and they got Ireland off the rocks. Now, where are they now? They're at home there. They've brought home money from out foreign. They're building businesses at home. And damn it, the government, it doesn't even look like they'll be able to pay them a pension.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
No. There's a lot wrong with Ireland, that's for sure. But what the government are saying is, and other countries across Europe as well, and America even, is that we have to be very careful about this Apple money, that we'll drive all the big multinational companies away.
How come Apple is coming out then and saying that they're going to expand? How come they're saying they're staying? Regardless of this ruling, they're staying and they're going to expand. They've already made their mind up. They know they've done something wrong. That money is from 2014.
Yeah.
So that you're talking there, how many years ago? That's money that's there. It's in the kitty. They know they've done wrong. How on earth? If you went in the morning to the revenue officer, could you negotiate a tax rate with
them? No.
No. So why should anyone else be able to do that?
Listen, I was one of the ones that was dead in favour of Apple giving the money back. I wanted it, although it seemed to be a minority. You know, I mean, you clearly want them as well. But the vast majority of Irish people seem to be in favour of not taking the money back. I couldn't understand it because I thought, wow, we could certainly use it.
I don't believe that, no. I don't believe that the vast majority of people in Ireland don't want the money back. I think the vast majority of people in Ireland just get a platform to express their opinion. How often do you hear, as I do say, a gom like myself on the radio giving his opinion?
I don't think you are a gom. I think you make an awful lot of sense.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying in general, people like myself isn't given a platform to express their opinion.
The ordinary man, you're saying?
The ordinary man. As I said, you go up to government and you take a look around at them men and the situation myself and other men like me around the world trying to send a few pound home to their families, to their partners, to their mothers and fathers. Right?
Yeah.
You look at any of them men and tell me any time they went to either Knock or Shannon Airport or Dublin and picked up their child and picked them up in their arms and says, I'm sorry, but I don't know when I see you again. Huh?
Yeah. Their young son
you
leaving
tell me
behind.
When that happens.
Yeah. Or a mother or a father seeing a teenager or a 20-something leaving the country as well.
Yeah, and then you have the people left behind. You have the wives, you have the partners, whatever sexual orientation anyone is. You have people left behind. And what do? They grow up, they stay in Ireland and they work, and he might be over in England. He might come home every 2 or 3 weeks. And they see that child. I missed a lot of stuff with my child. I missed his first words. I missed his first steps. I missed all that.
I didn't know you. Do you have a son or a daughter back at home in Sligo then?
I have a son. He'll be 3 on Sunday.
And you see very little of him?
I see him every 2 weeks now, every second weekend.
You get home?
I tried to work in Ireland. And the jobs I was getting in Ireland, at the end of the week, you hadn't enough even to save up in case the van broke down the week after. We'll say the clutch went on it. Maybe something's minor.
Yeah.
You hadn't enough money to save put aside to fix it.
Yeah.
And that's after everything is paid.
Yeah,
we all have. But that's my predominant problem. People turns around then and says, oh, no one held a gun to people's heads. They took out mortgages and all this and people getting out of houses and that. There should be no Irish people being thrown out of houses that they've made a genuine effort to pay for. If you go into a bank and you, like, who is a banker to say, look at my job, the pay has been decreased, all these bills have increased, this is the cash flow I have available at the moment, I pay you this much every week. Who gives them the right to turn around and say, no, that's not good enough? That person is trying their best. What more do you want from a person only to try their best?
Well, you're right there in the sense that everybody that got a debt write-down was big business or developers or overseas property funds or people who were in for millions and millions. But the regular Joe with a mortgage got no debt write-down.
No, because I'll tell you, in this country, the bigger crook you are, the better the life is.
And are there many of your friends? I mean, you're what, 23?
23, yeah.
Are there many of your friends from, say, around Sligo who have also left and are in the UK and places like that?
Johnny, God's amount. You're standing beside the man here now. Johnny, what age are you?
32.
Where are you from, Johnny?
Ballinan,
yeah. Orgona. What age are you? 20. Where are you from? Mayo.
What are they doing?
Well, Downey's driving the digger there at the minute. Johnny's watching them, spotting to see if there are any cables in the ground.
And does it pay well?
It pays well enough. Not enough, but it pays well. But you have to think about it. When you take a flight out of it, take your digs money, take your expenses, all that out of it, yeah, you'll have a few pounds. You'll have a lot more than you do at home.
A lot more than you do at home. That answers my question. A lot more than you do at home. And do you see a time when you will be able to come home and be there for the rearing of your child?
I say the time is now. The time is now. If they took the steps to put in place that people isn't taxed to the hilt. This universal social charge, that's just basically a fine because you have a job. That's not a tax. That's not a race. That's just a fine. That's basically what that is. You have people, they talk about recovery. There's no recovery. Can any man turn around now and say that he's making the same as he was making in 2006, 2007, let alone more? Because I know I've been talking to a rake of people. I've seen them. I was only a young fella at the time. I used to go off with them labouring and that. And them men had money that time. And you know what they've done with it? They put it back into the country.
Yeah.
They built a house. They bought a car. They've done all these things. They put their money back into the country.
Yeah.
So why on earth is it such a big issue that they can't go for a few pounds when it's there to be taken and put it directly back into infrastructure to do something to get normal people back to work? And I'm not coming out against all people that's working in Apple, all these, but I'm not against them whatsoever. I'm sure they're doing a fine job there and fair play to them. But that company made a little sweetheart deal with our government, and I'm sure there was plenty of backhanders and brown envelopes going flying around the place just to keep quiet about it. And that's the predominant opinion I hear from a lot of people. And now, where are we? Now they don't want anyone to talk about it. They don't want anyone to kick up a fuss about it. Well, why is that? Why silence everyone? Why don't they want people talking about it?
Well, they are, because 1.4 million people saw your video. I wouldn't call it a rant, to be honest with you. I think it's a lot more structured than a rant. It makes an awful lot of... I'm not saying that rants don't make sense, but you were certainly talking from the heart. Would you be inclined to do more of those, or is that it, a one-off?
Well, I don't know. As I said, I never thought it would get the audience that it got out of it. And I don't know what to do. I like working at the job I'm at.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. If I could get work like this at home, any type of construction work, that I wouldn't have to get up like I had to. When I was working in Dublin, those mornings I had to get up at 4:30 to go down to Dublin to work there for the day.
But there are construction works, James. There's a load of construction happening, certainly here in Cork, you know, for people with your skills.
Right. Well, hold on a second there now. A fella wakes up in Sligo on Sunday or Monday morning and he has to travel down to Cork. Now, would it be viable for me to drive back up to Sligo that evening?
Yeah, there wouldn't be work in Sligo, yeah.
The amount of people who turn, and that's a point that annoys me, is people turns around and says, oh, but there are jobs in construction, because people look out the window and they see a fecking crane up in the sky.
Yeah.
So that's all right. That's all right. You drive down to where I'm from, in Finlaw, Ballincarra, County Sligo, and you look around, there's no house being built. There's nothing going on. But we're not meant to complain when we have to go to Knock Airport and fly across England and fly to these places, because it's actually cheaper. It's cheaper to get a flight. I can get a return flight from England to Ireland for £34.
Mm.
But the point about it is, why on earth should I have to stay away for 2 weeks at a time just to be able to put a few pounds on the... This is, I can't understand. Is people against men like myself saying what they're saying? We need a recovery that is inclusive of everyone, from the man in Dublin, the man in Cork, Limerick, Galway, Sligo, all around the country. Every single person in Ireland should see a benefit. Everyone.
And that's where the...
And
that's where the 14 billion could help. Listen, it's been great talking to you. I really appreciate you taking time out. I'll let you get back to work. Hugely popular video, and I'm obliged to you for taking the call. Might stay in touch with you, see how things are going across the year, all right?
Fair play to you. Thank you very much, man.
No, thank you, James. Good luck and well done. Appreciate
it. No problem.
Cheers, my friend. That's an emotive man, James Conway, working over in North Wales in the video. He has 1.4, 1.5 million people already have had a look at what he's had to say. And I shared about 2.5 minutes of it with you earlier on. I'm quite sure a lot of people would agree with him. And also, you know, for us, because there are people listening to this radio program in all sorts of different situations and all sorts of different areas, city areas, suburban areas, satellite towns, and rural Ireland, way down west, way over in the east, up in North Cork, very remote areas. But can you imagine how remote it must be way over in the west, in the likes of Sligo, Mayo, Donegal, areas like that, with all of these young people without skills? So some might say that when you're working to survive, the slightest thing can tip you over the edge. He was saying something breaking down in a tractor or a van, or if you're working for a living using with machinery and you've nothing left for the repair of it. Some might describe that as that actually this is hell, you know, and that there is no such thing as another hell. You know, to look at the aspect of the comparisons between heaven and hell. But for many people, this is hell. This is what it's about. It's living hell now.